Tonight. Turn in your Bibles this evening, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 this evening, as we look at this passage of God's Word, I'm reminded of the old song that says, Jesus paid it all. And I think we can see that truth clearly upon those verses that we're going to look at here tonight. Jesus paid it all. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse number 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the reading of your word. And thank you, Lord, for the great truth that we can see here in this portion of the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus paid it all. Now, Father, I pray tonight that you'll help us to appreciate more the fact of his complete and finished work. Lord, bless tonight. Be with every need that's been mentioned, every name called, and all the requests that's been shared. Now bless us now as we study the Word of God together in Jesus' name. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus did indeed pay it all? You know, the payment, and let me just lead into my message tonight with just giving some thoughts that I'm sure everyone is already familiar with as far as what I'm about to say, but yet it's refreshing many times to hear the same grand old truths over and over again. You know, the payment for the sins of this world were anticipated in eternity past. God's heart, God's mind, God's plan in eternity past was a plan that had to do with the payment of our sin debt on Calvary. This payment was formulated in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. And I believe it's good that we understand that tonight. Before the foundation of the world, before God even moved forth and created this earth that you and I live upon, the plan of redemption had already been formulated in the mind of God. The sin of Adam did not reach God by surprise. How could anything ever reach God by surprise, considering the fact that God knows all things, past, present, and future? So Adam's sin did not surprise God. The plan to deal with sin had already been devised before sin actually became a reality. The Lamb of God I'm talking about, was promised to Adam and Eve just after they sinned. Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed of the woman was a reference to the coming Lamb of God who bruised the head of serpent of Satan on Calvary. This Lamb was prepared through the miracle of the virgin birth. This Lamb was provided when he was born in Bethlehem. However, the plan could not be finished until the Lamb was presented. And that Lamb, my friend, was presented on the cross. The Lamb had to come into the world. The Lamb had to live here. But ultimately, to accomplish God's plan, this Lamb had to die as well in our stead. These verses speak about the presentation of heaven's Lamb. I would remind us all tonight of Revelation 13, verse number 8. He's a Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. That verse lets us understand that the slaying of this Lamb had been formulated in the mind of God even before creation had even taken place. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. These verses that we're looking at here tonight in Hebrews chapter 10 speak about the moment in time when the plan of ages was accomplished. The plan of ages was accomplished. Could I give you some thoughts that we observe in these verses. And could I share with you some key words that are found in these verses as we proceed tonight in this message, this lesson? Verse number 11, I've read that tonight. Verse number 11, the word incompleteness comes to my mind, incompleteness. Notice verse 11, every priest standeth daily ministering. But then it says, which can never take away sins. Incompleteness. Verse number 11, the word incompleteness comes to my mind because those Old Testament priests, they repetitiously had to keep offering and offering and offering and presenting those sacrifices over and over and over, but yet they never had the power to take away sin. Verse number 12, the word completeness comes to my mind. Notice the verse, verse 12. Offered one sacrifice for sin. Completeness. Offered one sacrifice for sin. You may ask tonight, you may wonder tonight, what is so important about this passage? What is so important? I believe this evening that if every one of us in this building, and by the way, there's not a large crowd here tonight, this is a Wednesday night crowd, would to God the Sunday morning crowd was here too, because I've come to the opinion that one of the greatest blessings of the Christian life is to understand completely and fully Christ's finished work. There is absolutely nothing that thrills the heart and soul of a believer any more than to realize that Jesus paid it all. And that's what these verses talk about. Completeness. One offering. One offering. Not two offerings. Not three. There never will be another one. One offering. Completeness. That implies completeness. Then another verse. Verse 13. Verse 12. Exaltation. Exaltation, sat down on the right hand. Jesus was exalted to the Father's right hand. Exaltation. I'll say something about that in just a few moments. The position on the Father's right hand has tremendous implications. Exaltation, sat down. Anticipation, verse 13. Expecting until... Notice the verse, until his enemies be made his footstools. That's anticipation. Anticipation. Jesus seated on the right hand of God the Father tonight, anticipating. Anticipating. Then, verse number 13, full and complete, or actually 14, full and complete redemption. Verse 14, one offering. One offering. We have looked at key thoughts. Now let me give you some key words. The word man. Notice, if you will, verse 12, this man. Actually, that word man could be translated priest. But this priest, those Old Testament priests, they kept offering and offering and offering. But he says, this man, this priest, he is the high priest. He is heaven's priest. This man, this priest, in contrast to all of those other priests, this priest, Jesus Christ. The word man's a key word. Also, one. You'll make it, Brother Sam? One. Just pick it. One. Thank God, one. I'm glad there'll never be another one. One. Another key word. Notice this. Forever. Don't you love that word? Forever. Then the word set. I'll say something about that in a few minutes. Jesus is seated tonight at the Father's right hand. Then the word right. He's at God the Father's right hand, not left, right hand. That has all kinds of precious truths. Now, let me say this. The function of all of the earthly priests was a continual function which never ended because animal sacrifices could never pay sin's debt. They could not do it. Imagine all the blood that stained Jewish altars. Imagine the multitudes and multitudes of animals that were slain. Imagine the lambs that were offered. Imagine the turtle doves that were offered. Imagine all of the animals that were offered, but not a single one of them could take away sin. You might sit there tonight, and again, I know I've said this on Wednesday night. Sometimes we come programmed on Wednesday night to keep it low-keyed and keep it just a simple Bible study, but I can't do that. I'm as thrilled with 5 people here when I'm talking about Christ's finished work as I am with 500. And I figure you folks are so good to come out on Wednesday night, you deserve the very best I can give you anyway. That's the way I look at it. Looking at this again, those priests could never adequately pay sin debt, but verse number 12, this man, this priest offered one sacrifice forever. He furthermore sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. I remember years ago in West Virginia, I may have shared this with you, I remember years ago in West Virginia pastoring there. I hadn't been pastoring in that church long. But I remember at one particular time sitting in my church study reading this portion of the book of Hebrews, reading a sermon by Charles Haddon Spurgeon on this particular passage. And I have to tell you tonight, I can still remember that experience I had with God. I'm not talking about some kind of an emotional, Pentecostal experience that had no bearing. I'm telling you, I became unglued when the light beamed upon my soul concerning the truth of my Savior's finished work. I can still remember that. The closest that I ever came in my life to a full-fledged personal revival in my soul was when I came to understand that Jesus paid it all. Amen. All to Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen. Nothing thrills the soul anymore than to realize that Jesus paid it all. Amen. Thank God tonight for that truth. And I asked God on that day back in West Virginia to not only help me to understand better this glorious truth, but to help me to make it a priority in my preaching. I learned back in those days, as a young preacher, there's absolutely no truth more thrilling to the soul than to realize that Jesus truly paid it all. And I say tonight, hallelujah, what a Savior! Thank God tonight He paid it all. I'm not here tonight spouting off religion to you. I'm not talking about what the Baptists think. I'm not talking about what a denomination thinks. I'm telling you tonight, based upon God's Word, Jesus took care of our sin debt in full. I'll mess around tonight and get excited. He finished redemption's work, but still is actively. And here's something the average Christian misses if we're not careful. He finished redemption's work, but is right now actively involved on behalf of His people. He's actively involved. He has not left us comfortless for one thing. He has sent the Comforter. The Holy Spirit has come. We tonight sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's promised to come to us, and He has. while he tarries, while he's not upon this earth bodily, yet he is reigning. While he is absent here, he's sitting on the Father's throne. He sat down. He did what thousands of scapegoats could never do. He did what thousands of those bleeding lambs on Jewish altars could never do. They could not sit down. Jesus sat down. He could not have sat down if he still had work to do. He sat down proving that his work was done. Sitting down is many things. Sitting down implies great truths. Sitting down is a posture of rest. Sitting down implies rest. Seldom had he sat down when he was on this earth. He said, I must be about my Father's business. He may sit for a moment on Jacob's well, but even while he's there, he's preaching to the woman of Samaria and telling her about her need of the Savior. He goes into the wilderness, but not to sleep. He goes there to pray. Old Testament passage says, for Zion's sake, I will not rest until her glory goeth forth like a lamp that burneth. What can we say about the Father's right hand? Jesus sat down at the Father's right hand. What can we say about the Father's right hand? The right hand of the Father is a place of perfection. A place of perfection. I say that because it means the work is complete. It means the work is finished. That's perfect, perfect work. The Father's right hand implies perfection, perfect work. Complete and perfect work. I had a teacher in Bible college. I'll never forget this dear man. He's been in heaven now a number of years. He was an old Welsh preacher. I think he was a part of that Welsh revival. Broke out years ago. This man's name was Dr. Tom Lawrence. I've never had any teacher in school that thrilled my heart any more and God used to keep me going when I wanted to quit than that dear man's teaching and preaching. He loved the Hebrews. I can still hear him now in his broken English. Preaching these truths, talking about Christ's finished work. I remember one time, I had him for Life of Christ in Bible College. I remember one time going to school and I was very discouraged. I was really having a tough time, wanting to quit. And I got into class and Dr. Lawrence opened his Bible and got us teaching about Christ and his finished work. And I'm telling you, I was thrilled, and God spoke to my heart, and I never will forget that day. The Lord used that lesson on Christ's finished work to keep me in school that day. The right hand of the Father. In fact, he preached a message one time here. I can still remember him talking about the right hand of the Father, place, power, preeminence, place of prayer, but a place of perfection. Indicating the work of Christ is complete, perfect. The Father's right hand is a place of pleasure. A place of pleasure. Sitting on the right hand of his Father implied his pleasure. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16, verse 11. A place of pleasure. Our Savior at the Father's right hand is occupying a place of pleasure. The very fact that Christ is in heaven, accepted by His Father, proves that His work has been done. Here's a case in point. Here's an illustration to think about. As long as an ambassador from our country is in a post in a foreign country, there's peace with that foreign country. As long as Jesus Christ, our Savior, is in the Father's court, it shows that there's real peace between His people and His Father. That peace could not have been continual unless the atonement had been wholly made, unless justice had been wholly satisfied. Jesus, on the right hand of the Father tonight, lets us know there's peace with God. And lets us know there's not a war any longer between God's people and God, because the war has ended when we came to Christ. God accounted His Lamb, God imputed His Lamb as a sinner in our stead. He's taken care of the sin problem in order that we can enter heaven. His seating at the Father's right hand proves He must have perfected the Father's work, and that His Father must have accepted that sacrifice. You know, the Bible tells us He's the author, He's the finisher of our salvation. He's the Alpha, He's the Omega. Salvation is complete and finished. I think of Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now catch this. Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Christ, to the glory of God the Father. He is seated at the Father's right hand. He's in an exalted position tonight. That's where He is. The Father's right hand is a place of perfection. The Father's right hand is a place of pleasure. The Father's right hand is a place of power. A place of power. Now think about this. Some people have positions, but they don't have power. Some people have names, but the name is not associated with power. Some people have empty titles, which confer but little power and authority upon their position. But now, think about this. He is able to save unto the uttermost them that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession. He is able to save, a place of power. What about this? He is able to keep us from falling, and to present us spotless before His presence. Place of power. He's able to make all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. A place of power. He's able to subdue all things unto Himself. He is able to conquer even death, because He's already done that. He hath power over death. He hath power over Satan. He rose from the dead. He became the first fruits of them that sleep. He is a guarantee of our resurrection. His resurrection guarantees ours. His ascension back to heaven guarantees one day you and I will be caught up in His presence too. The right hand of the Father, place of power, a place of preeminence. Let me give you this. Mark chapter 16, verse 19. He sat down. Mark's gospel closes by saying He ascended and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 20 talks about His being seated and becoming the head of the church. The right hand of the Father. I also would add tonight that the Father's right hand is a place of patience. Place of patience. Verse number 13. From henceforth expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. A place of patience. He's presented as calmly waiting until the triumph is achieved and the promise is fulfilled. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 and 25 says, Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Let me bring this into bearing with where we are tonight in our sin-infested society that you and I are living in. I've never seen a time that our world, our country, our society is any more rotten and corrupt than it is today. Amen. You look at the scourge of sin today. I don't need to tell you there's never been a time that man looked into the face of God and blasphemed God anymore and committed heinous sins without blushing any longer. I never thought I'd ever seen a time that the sex of an individual would be determined by what that individual thought of themselves rather than how they were born genetically.
Amen.
Never thought I'd ever see that time. Adultery, fornication, ungodliness has permeated our land. People living together today like animals. No blushing any longer. Alcoholism, drug overdose, criminal activity, murders increasing. I mean, our society is in a rotten mess because of sin. This mess, thank God, is going to eventually end.
Amen.
It's going to end. He will put it down one day. He's patiently waiting. And I think it's certainly very clear today we see the inability of man to rule himself. We see the failure of world governments. We see the power play in politics. We see the selfish agendas on the part of politicians. We're told, while I'm speaking, no doubt, we're told that there could be as many as 7,000 migrants right now heading towards the southern border, this country. What does it mean? The radical left believe in having no border. Radical left believes in doing away with the sovereign status of a country. This proves the lunacy of the left. But what I'm saying tonight, it proves the inability of man to properly govern himself. This attacks the efforts, the accomplishments of our founders. This proves the fact of the selfish agenda in politics elevated over the security of our nation. This president of ours, every single day of his life, is ridiculed, hated, despised. I don't like what comes out of his mouth a lot of times. Not at all. But I don't remember a president in my time that's ever, in my opinion, had the heart of this country any more on his heart.
Amen.
I firmly believe that.
Right.
But I come back now to this text. The best government, though, that you and I are ever going to be a part of is not a drop in the bucket compared to the final end government that this earth will enjoy when the King of Kings is established on David's throne and righteousness covers this land as a sand upon the seashore. The righteousness of God will cover this land. There will be a perfect government and a perfect peace. And it's all because a perfect provision has been made for sin. And the Redeemer is destined to bring perfect order to this earth. It's going to happen. Even according to the book of Revelation, this earth itself will be redeemed from its curse. The devil will be banished. Sin will be put down. Righteousness will rule. Man will not be confused any longer because the Savior himself will be in charge of government. And please do not forget what I'm about to close with this evening. This is all because Jesus paid it all. That's why we have a future, because Jesus paid it all. There will be the millennium because Jesus paid it all. And that truth ought to thrill our hearts tonight more than anything else. He paid it all. You and I tonight are safe in God's care. You and I tonight have a home in heaven awaiting us. You and I tonight have security the world doesn't have. In our flesh, as Job said, we will see God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father,